We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The next mystery guest is a Needham High School and UMass Amherst grad. Ooh. He was once an assistant under Mike Lombardi with the Browns. He went on to be general manager for the Jets and the executive vice president of football operation of the Dolphins. Jeez. And he said last month he thinks the Patriots would be a good landing spot for Cam Newton. Ooh. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
Hey, guys, it's Mike Tannenbaum. Good to be with you.
All right. Good job, Lou. Good job, Lou.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, Mike Tannenbaum. And Mike, yeah, we guessed. We narrowed it down. We had like 30 guests. I mean, 30 guesses, rather. We sort of figured this thing out. So thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you guys. Always good to be with my hometown here.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I didn't know if you knew this, but I think you were rivals at Needham High. Was rivals with Lou's high school?
Well, it was the same league. I went to Framingham South.
Yeah, did you ever run into any gang called the Oxy Posse when you were running around Needham? Did you ever get into any kind of any fight or any issue with any of those gangs running around Framingham?
We were just we were a little bit better against South than we were North back in those days. I know they're one high school now, so look, at Needham, we were just happy to be on the field in the big state league.
All right, Mike, let me start you off by asking. I know it was in one of those clues there because we spent some time talking about your comments about Cam Newton, why you thought it might be a good fit. I think Mangini was with you. He disagreed. So you tell us, why do you think Cam Newton, because he's still out there. We still talked about here in New England of possible of signing this guy. Why is he a good fit?
Well, you know, for me, when there's a guy out there that was the former first pick in the draft, taking a team to a Super Bowl, who could be, if healthy, guys, that's a big if, with his arm and his feet, I think he's a great complement to what Jared Stidham's strengths, I believe, will be. And when you're a defense, and I've worked with a lot of great defensive coaches, and they always talk about when the backup quarterback is different than the starter, it puts a lot of pressure on your preparation because if for whatever reason Stidham gets knocked out of the game, you don't have a lot of preparation for that style of offense. So I think he could come in. It's a low-risk, high-reward signing if that's something they would pursue.
Mike, did you scout Jared Stidham at all? Like, I know maybe not last year, but do you remember him coming out of college?
Yeah, I did. You know, he's a transfer, productive. Obviously, that offense in Auburn doesn't fit everybody great. But what I think people forget, and you could throw myself in this, is I think what Coach Belichick said about Jared Stidham last year is something we all collectively ignored, which was this. Last Labor Day, he cut Brian Hoyer to keep Jared Stidham on a team that obviously had championship aspirations with Tom Brady. And literally, as an unheralded fourth-round pick, he was one hit away from being the quarterback of the Patriots a year ago. So, you know, the signs were there of what they felt about him. And only having another season under his belt, I'm sure they feel even better about him.
Yeah, so do you think that he has a starter capabilities? You think they're full? You think they're 100% married to Jared Stidham?
Well, I don't think Coach Belichick's married to anything except the standards. And I was very fortunate to be around him twice in my career, and the standards are the standards. And if you're to that level and you're performing, you're going to stay. If not, you won't be around a while. And I've said this multiple times, guys. I'm not just saying it because, you know, of the part of the country we're talking about right now, but I think you can make a case that the New England Patriot running back room arguably is the best position room of any position of any team in the league.
Wow.
They go 5 and 6 deep. I had Brandon Bolden at Dolphins. You know, we rarely even get to talk about Harris, who was a really good player at Alabama. You think about Burkhead, James White, and obviously Sony Michel. It's a great group. And one of the things that's a critical factor when you're defending the Patriots is, you know, can you defend the running backs in the passing game? So I don't think Stidham has to be great for New England to be productive this year. And I don't think there's been enough said about, look, I understand maybe their weapons weren't ideal a year ago, but that running back room to me, guys, is dynamic. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be as runners. And, you know, again, Damian Harris can't even get on the field. And I think he had a chance to be a really good player. So where Stidham is good, he's accurate underneath. And I think that really complements, you know, what the Patriots do well.
We're talking to Mike Tannenbaum. And Mike, your ESPN colleague, Rob Ninkovich, friend of the show, said recently that he thinks Brian Hoyer could actually be the starter week one. I don't know if you agree with that, but if that happens, does that tell you anything how they feel about Stidham?
Well, let's set the record straight about Ninkovich. If he had played the Jets every week, Lawrence Taylor would have gone down as the second best linebacker in the history of pro football, because every time he played the Jets, it was like a strip sack. Like, that guy, when I was with it, we couldn't block him, and he was just, what a pain in the ass he was to defend. So I'm glad he's my teammate now. But I'll say this. My gut would say it's Stidham, again, because they made that decision a year ago, guys, and Jared Stidham has only had a year to grow, to develop, to get stronger, to learn the offense. And obviously we're in a situation now with a very unusual offseason, but if he beat him out with very little work a year ago, my sense is, unless something really catastrophically goes wrong in the preseason games, my strong suspicion would be that Stidham wins the job.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, Rex Ryan was one of those guys. Okay, listen, Brady's gone, and you know, now they don't have Bill doesn't have
Superman
anymore. He said, let's give somebody else like Geno Smith. Let's give him whoever. Let's see how many Super Bowls he would have won. We saw that answer was zero in Cleveland. And this is Rex Ryan's words. These aren't mine. Do you think that's an accurate, you know, depiction of what he would be capable of without Tom Brady?
No, I don't see it that way. And I love Rex, but it's certainly not the first and last time that Rex and I have disagreed. I go back to 08. I know it's a couple of years ago, but, you know, we had Brett Favre and, you know, the Patriots had Matt Castle that year, and they still had a really good season. So, look, we're going to learn a ton this year, but I've said it on the record on ESPN. I'll say it again here, guys. To me, like, the Patriots are the favorite in the AFC East, and I'm a big believer, like, you're the champion until, you know, told otherwise. And, again, I'm not saying they have the perfect team. Nobody does in this day and age, but they have enough strengths that I think will allow them to persevere this year in the division. And let's face it, you know, there's a lot of question marks at all the quarterback positions in the division. You know, certainly in New York, Darnold has a chance. I think they've improved their offensive line, but he's been spotty. Obviously, Miami, at some point, it'll be Tua, and we don't really know when that'll happen. Fitzpatrick obviously played very well. And, you know, Josh Allen, to me, is someone that has really struggled. When you look at his game carefully, his limits in terms of his strengths, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, has a great arm, but he struggles with downfield accuracy. That happened at Wyoming. It happened in the regular season. It happened in the playoff game against Houston. So I think the jury's still out on Josh Allen. And I think what New England's done very quietly is fortified their offensive line, which has always been the strength, especially, you know, if Andrews comes back. So I still think they're the team to beat.
Oh, talking to Mike Tannenbaum. Yeah, so it sounds like, I was going to ask you that. Do you agree with Vegas saying that they are the favorites? Because I do. I'm concerned. We had a host here in the morning, Fitzy, who says that he believes this roster is actually better than it was last year. I just don't see that. I know they had a draft. They lost an awful lot. And as you know, everybody loves their draft picks, and we sort of hyped them up. I don't think this roster is as good. Do you?
I do. And I think, like, it starts with the offensive line. And again, if healthy, they have a really good offensive line. Isaiah Wynn is a really athletic left tackle. They tagged Thuney, which I thought they would have. That was a no-brainer to me. If Andrews comes back, he's a tough, durable, smart center. That's a really good starting five. And when you look at their offense, there was a guy that I really like, Asiasi, the tight end from UCLA, who was a transfer. I think he's really athletic if he could stay healthy and stay on the field. I could have been wrong on Harry because I really liked him a year ago. I thought when he came out, he really reminded me of Anquan Boldin in terms of the tough, physical, contested catches, and hopefully he'll continue to get better. And look, Edelman and Sanu are obviously the wrong side of 30, but they're both competitive veteran guys. So, again, when you match them up, I'm not saying it's a perfect roster, guys, but when you match it up within the division, I could see 9, 10, 11 wins on this team.
You know, it's funny, you know, we're with the Dolphins, you're with the Jets, and I can't help but wonder how a lot of GMs and head coaches, if you gave them some truth serum, maybe just some Lowe's, you know, hand sanitizer, that if you asked them, hey, how well do you think you would do if Brady only played 15 years in the league? Like, what the opportunities would have been, you know, what would the accomplishments have looked like? You know, you were with the Jets and the Dolphins. Like, get out of the AFC East, Mike. What are you doing?
Yeah, well, I have two thoughts. One, I said this to Brady. Like, hey, I got kids, too. They want to go to college, right? You're not the only guy trying to raise a family around here. But in all seriousness, I had the opportunity to compete against the best of the best. And after the Jets, my next opportunity, and look, I know how fortunate I am personally. Like, I grew up in Needham, Mass. with a dream. I got to run two football teams. They happen to be in the AFC East against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Look, I know how special and fortunate I am to go to UMass and be able to fulfill dreams. And I just took it as a challenge, guys. Like, there are no perfect situations. There are no perfect jobs. And the bar was raised really high. And I didn't have a ton of success against them. I have some. My record's really well documented. But I always took it as, like, hey, let's go. Like, if we want to be champions, like, we got to compete against these guys every day. And, like, if it was a day in June, let's make our day in June better than theirs. And let's just keep stacking one good day on top of the other.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, I've always felt like if you can still play in this league and help teams win, you'll find a job in this league. But Antonio Brown is definitely pushing that theory of mine. You've been a key decision maker in the NFL. How would you consider bringing him in if you were still in that position?
I absolutely would, and I'll tell you why. The object of the exercise, guys, is to win as many pro football games as possible. And you want to do that within reason. You want to do it with people that obviously are either, you know, eligible or have had, let's just say, bumps in the road, but have paid a price and hopefully are remorseful for their mistakes. And there's very limited ways to improve your roster. Everyone has the same amount of salary cap space. Everybody, in theory, starts with the same draft capital. So I think you have to do your due diligence. You have to understand, can you help the person in a meaningful way? Are they remorseful? Are they trying to get better off the field? You know, we signed Plaxico Burress at the Jets after he had an arrest at the Giants and paid a big price for it. He came in, helped us. We did it with Santonio Holmes, Antonio Cromartie. We got to a couple championship games, and they were meaningful contributors. So it's not a blanket statement. You have to proceed with caution, but you have to be thorough. And you have to say, hey, is this an opportunity where he can help the team in a meaningful way? And hopefully we can help him learn from his mistakes and grow from it as well.
Hey, Mike, random question. Okay, I see you every day on ESPN. Well, maybe not every day. But you are, which looks like a really nice library with a lot of important books that you probably have never read. But there is a picture behind you. It looks like a green of some sort. Now, I'm just going to take a guess at it. And you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Is that Pebble Beach?
Close. Close. A little further north. Bandon Dunes.
Oh, damn it. That was my next guest. Is there some story behind that?
Just really fortunate to go there. Really nice spot. Golf is a sport that I'm not good at, but really enjoy a lot. It kind of gets you away, peace of mind. And that was part of a special trip that I took with my wife for an anniversary. So it was just a special time we had together on a special place. And
you took your wife golfing for like an anniversary?
Good for her.
Well, just, you know, for complete disclosure, we landed there. It was, I would say, this is my negotiation acumen. Like, it was a win-win. We actually went on a cruise to Alaska, but I was able to, you know, slice out a 36-hour junket to Bandon Dunes.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. I thought that was gonna be like, here, honey. I bought you a bowling ball for our anniversary. Oh, you don't want it? Oh, I'll take it.
It's funny you mentioned, guys, because one of the many things criticized me about our stop there was she opined that there was no in the dining room, there were no tablecloths. Like, it's a guy's place. Like, it's hardwood tables, and it's not exactly, you know, I would say, you know, the notion of, like, where women would want to go for a traditional anniversary dinner. But, you know, she was a real team player with that, so I appreciate it.
Well, Mike, listen, man, thanks for taking some time and joining us today as our mystery guest.
Thank you.
We had a million guesses, so, or at least hints, so we figured it out, but we appreciate the time.
No, guys, I really appreciate it. I don't get home often, but I know you guys do a great job, and I really appreciate having me. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good day, man. Stay safe. It's Mike Tannenbaum. He is our mystery guest.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Well, who can it be now?
More OMF. I'm singing over like Kay Adams right now. More OMF after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.